The post-settlement rhetoric in the National Basketball Association is similar to that following any labor dispute. This is a win-win situation. We both gave up a lot to get the deal, but it's fair. Well, Stefan Fatsis, the Wall Street Journal writer who talks with us about sports each Friday, joins us now to offer, we hope, some more trenchant analysis than that. Stefan, who won?
Well, it's a win-win-lose, actually, Robert, I think. And the big loser here are the players. The NBA gained in this deal the most severe cost controls over player salaries in the history of professional sports in a major league.
So the players lose and the owners win.
They do. I mean, the owners clearly went into this with a much more adamant approach toward getting as many concessions as they could from the union. They pushed it as far as they could. They started trying to get rid of the famous Larry Bird exception that allows free agents to sign for however big an amount they want. They didn't succeed in that, but what they got in the end was almost as good. They have maximum salaries, something that no sport has ever had before. They've restricted the ability of young players to move from teams, and actually when you get into the fine print of the agreement, you'll find that rookies coming into the league can face the prospect of being with one team for up to 8 years, which really marks a regression in the rights of players to move around from team to team that they've gained since free agency emerged in professional sports.
But it might mark some progress from the standpoint of fans who would have something more constant about their favorite team to root for, apart from just the uniforms.
And it's not just fans in mind. I mean, the owners really wanted to give the smaller market teams, the Sacramentos and the Minnesotas and the Denvers and the San Antonios, the confidence that they could re-sign the players that they draft, because they're drafting, of course, at the top of the draft every year because they've had such bad teams. And this deal gives them the ability to say, hey, Tim Duncan, or hey, Kevin Garnett, had he not been already signed for $126 million, you're not going anywhere for a few years. That gives the owners the confidence that they can rebuild the team and tell fans, yes, we're going to have some stability here going forward.
Well, do you actually think that, say, 3 or 4 years down the road, that we might see some bad teams in small markets start challenging because they've been able to hold on to their early round draft picks?
They may indeed. I mean, you're looking at a situation where the young players don't have anywhere to go. Their ability to jump from team to team, as well as the ability of some of the older free agents to jump from team to team, is going to be severely restricted. Agents are already trying to figure out how they can maneuver around these new restrictions, and it's not looking real good for them. So fans in the smaller markets may actually see some better teams down the road. Who knows? Maybe someone other than the Bulls or the Knicks or the Rockets will be in the NBA Finals in the next few years.
Well, let's talk a little bit about this shortened season that's now about to begin. It's not going to be a normal season in that every team won't play every other team on this schedule.
That's right. We're not going to see some of the matchups that fans have looked forward to. But I think at this point, people are understanding that, hey, you play a 50-game season, you can't have everything. And frankly, there are a lot of fans who probably feel a 50-game season isn't the worst thing in the world. Let's get right to the playoffs. What we're going to have here is enough time for the players to get the kinks out of their game and look for some really, really ugly basketball in the first couple months of this short season. But when playoff time rolls around, the teams that are in better shape to start and that have managed in this chaotic free agent signing period that we're looking forward to over the next month to put together quality teams are going to be able to have a run for the championship. And if Michael doesn't re-sign with the Bulls, who knows who's going to win? It's really going to be up for grabs this year.
That would be Michael Jordan?
Yes, it would. The man who made $33 million last year and under these severe salary restrictions will only be able to make $34.7 million this year.
Oh, my. Stefan, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you, Robert.
Stefan Fatsis writes about sports for the Wall Street Journal, and he talks with us about sports every Friday.